Good morning, Grace Church. Good morning. Isn't it great to be here in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen, it certainly is. Can I tell you how blessed I am to see you guys all here with us today? I mean, you guys woke up and you made the conscious decision to come here to be obedient to God this morning, right? There are so many reasons and excuses we could come up with and follow into, right? And try to say why I shouldn't be in church, but you guys are here, so I thank you for that. Thank you for joining us here. And I thank God for the blessings he's done in our lives throughout this week ahead. For those of you that are here with us this morning, I would ask that if you have your Bibles with you, that you would please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. That is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. When you have your verses and you are able to, I would ask that you would please stand with me as I get ready to read the word with you guys this morning. Okay. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it reads as follows. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to praise for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy." This is the word of God. Could you bow your heads as I pray us in this morning? Father God, I thank you for just bringing us all together, Lord, to be able to learn about you, to give you praise because you are worthy of it. Lord, I pray this morning that we could just set aside all of our worries, all of our anxieties in the outside world and just give you our attention this morning, give you the praise that you so rightfully deserve. I ask, Lord, at this time that I would take a step to the back and the true preacher may step forward this morning, that these would be your words and not my own. I say all these things in your son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. So before I dive into the message this morning, I would just like to provide you some context, a picture of what is going on in the book of Colossians, okay? So in the book of Colossians, we know that this is a letter. It is authored by Paul to the Colossian church, which is located in the city of Colos, okay? Which is about 11 miles away from the city of Laodicea. And Paul is writing this letter to the Colossian church because he has received some concerning reports that heresies or false teaching has begun to creep in into the lives of believers within the church there, okay? Let me ask you a question this morning, church. How many of you have ever been away from home for an extended period of time, and while you were away from home, you've heard some problems that started to arise, right? Problems that wouldn't have otherwise happened had you have been home. Are you guys following me with that this morning? All right. Some of you guys have definitely been here. This is Paul. This is exactly what Paul is going through, right? He knew the teachings that he has instructed and set up the church. He helped founded it, right? He instilled faithful believers to lead it. Yet ideas from the culture are beginning to seep into the church. It's beginning to confuse the people of the Colossians, okay? Of Colossus there, right? And throughout this letter, we see that Paul is addressing two main types of heresies that existed during this time and were really prevalent. On one hand, he's addressing the heresy of legalism, of Jewish legalism, right? Which essentially was asserting that it wasn't just enough for believers to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, you know, dying on the cross for our sins, but we also had to adhere to the Jewish customs as well. It was a faith plus works. So Paul is addressing that in this letter. The other heresy that he is seeking to address is the heresy of Gnosticism. That's Gnosticism with the G here, okay? And in Gnosticism, there are three main tenets, right, that it asserts, right? The first tenet that Gnosticism makes is that the God above, the God who created this world that we live in, is an evil God. That's what Gnosticism asserts, number one. The second thing that Gnosticism was trying to tell people is that Jesus Christ himself was not God incarnate, but instead he was some other deity. He was like a lower form of deity, an angel, right? That's another thing that they say about Jesus, right? And that Jesus was just a man with good teachings, okay? And if we could follow the teachings that Jesus set for us, then we can resurrect ourselves, okay? So it was kind of like a works-based thing, and it didn't see God as this good being up here, right? And all heresies, right, even the heresies that we see today basically work to the same effect, right? All heresies, their purpose is to diminish, it is to water down the power and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is their function. That is what they seek to do. They seek to destroy the lives of believers and try to stop his message from being shared, right? And as believers living in this the century we do in the year 2023, we see a number of heresies existing within our culture today, some of which have gained root in some of the churches, right? And you guys would know these by their names, right? Some of you guys have probably heard of the health and wealth gospel that is out there. That is a false heresy that has crept in. Some of you guys may be familiar with the name it and claim it idea, right? That we can just speak miracles into existence. Another false heresy that is out there, right? And then, of course, there is a legalism and then this sort of progressive, so-called progressive Christianity that is out there today that asserts that the only sin we commit is naming sin itself, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like most of us in here, we can at least sympathize with Paul here, right? We can understand how he may be feeling because, speaking personally, it makes me upset. It makes me angry. My blood boil when I see people twisting the message of Jesus Christ for their own nefarious purposes, you know? It makes me upset. But Paul lays out a solution in these verses to the church and to the individual Christian of how we combat heresy, how we keep it from taking root in our church, and how we keep it from taking root in our own lives. And his solution is not for us to argue with these people, not to be combative with them, but it's that our lives would be distinguished from the world around us. In other words, his solution is that we would live a life that is completely, totally obedient to God, right? And therefore, we would be reflecting his character, right? So our lives would be an example of who Jesus Christ really is, you know? So that is how we defeat heresy, okay? And I know that you, as a church here, do you mind if I brag about you guys for a second? One of the things that I love about this church is that we as a church have decided to fully commit ourselves, you know, to God, to be obedient to him. That's why we went through, we're going through this disaffiliation process, you know. We said that we don't want heresy taking any root or any place here in Grace Church, right? Amen. That's why we're going through with what we're doing. We want to be a church that is completely and totally obedient to God, right? Okay, but the church, right, while we want this for our church, we got to ask ourselves, what about ourselves on the individual level? What are we doing the other 6 days of the week? How are we guarding ourselves so heresy doesn't creep into our lives, it doesn't take hold of us, and thereby it doesn't take hold of the church, you know, so we're not bringing these ideas in. Because think of it this way, church. I mean, we're in a very crucial and critical point in our history, right? So it's important now more than ever that we are completely and totally obedient to God, all right? Yes. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about how we can be obedient to God so heresy takes no root, takes no place in our lives. And there are 3 points that I want to make in these 3 verses today. 3 points, okay? The first point is this, right? To combat heresy, to keep it from taking root in our lives, we must be on the same page as God. That is point number one. We need to be on the same page as God. Let me read to you verse 9 here. And it says, "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Let me ask you this morning, church. Who in here has ever asked God, "Lord, I need your direction in my life"? Who has ever here prayed, "Lord, I need your wisdom, I need your knowledge," right? Or who has ever been in a point where you're like, "God, you led me here, I'm here where you need me to be, but what are the next steps I need to take," right? All of us have been there at some point in our lives. That's kind of where we're at as a church right now, right? And the good news is, church, the good news is the Lord grants us this knowledge and wisdom. He does. Okay? In James chapter 1, verse 5, it reads this. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." I love this verse, church. It said that in this verse we see that God gives us this wisdom, and there is no limits to this wisdom that he is willing to give us, right? Hence the word liberally in there, right? He gives it to us freely, Lord. Now, though God gives us the wisdom, though he gives us his knowledge and direction of where we should be going, it does not mean that there isn't any work required on our end, okay? There is work to be able to understand what God is saying, right? Bringing it back to verse 9 here, it says, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The key word there is ask, right? And ask there suggests that we are in prayer with God, that we are in constant communication with him, right? So we are searching him out, right? And when we're trying to figure out how God is communicating with us, right, we have to go to his sources, right, the sources that he speaks to us from. Part of that means coming here on Sunday mornings, right, listening to the word that he has given the preachers, right? The other part of that means being in this book right here throughout the weeks ahead, right? That's how God communicates to us. And for my older folks, it's a lot simpler to use than planning center, right? Anyway. I know. Real simple. You just pick it up and you go right into it. That's all it takes, you know. Anyway. So it doesn't mean that there's any work on our end, you know, to go into. And sometimes when we're reading God's word, right, it requires a little bit of work on our ends. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the work, the word of truth," okay? So even when we're in God's word, we might not necessarily understand a passage all at once. You know, maybe there's some concepts that we don't get, but that's why there are commentaries that exist out right there. There are people that have already gone ahead. They've looked up these passages, and we could go and seek their wisdom, their understanding, what they've taken away, right? So there are commentaries on the Bible to help us understand what God's saying. And there's also Bible studies that we can be a part of as well, because we learn the Bible together, you know. And we just saw on the announcement that Pastor Peter is hosting his Bible studies. And I would recommend, if you guys aren't in one, that you would consider joining his, because he really does a wonderful job of breaking it down, okay? I can testify to that. I'm sure those of you who have been in there can do so as well. So not only do we have to be on the same page as God, but we need to be on the same page as God on the daily basis. Back in verse 9, it says, that you may be filled. When I'm thinking of filled here in this verse, for me, it evokes like this feeling of hunger, right? Of hunger being satisfied, of being completed here. And it's not just satisfying your hunger, it's satisfying it with the right things, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really much of a breakfast person. Anyone here not much of a breakfast person? Okay, or a few of us here. But growing up, my mom would always be telling me, she's like, "Jonathan, you need to put the right stuff in you, right? Or else you're going to be hungry later on the day." And I'm like, "Ah, no, whatever, you know. I'd blow it off, but, you know, I'd be filling myself up with cookies, chips, you know, all the unhealthy stuff for breakfast, okay?" And what I would find myself is that, you know, I would be hungry maybe an hour or so later, right? I wouldn't be functioning normally as I was supposed to be. I wouldn't have the energy and strength I need to carry on my day, okay? And the same thing applies here as Christians being in God's word, right? God likens his word to being our daily bread. He also calls it the manna that we receive in the morning, right? So we need to consume that on a daily basis, right? We need to put that in our bodies, because when we don't put God's word in us, right, we are prone to filling up on the wrong things. Maybe that means we are engaging in sinful behavior, or we're filling ourselves up with our own short-term pleasures that maybe they give us gratification in the moment, but later on in the day, they cause us harm and damage. Or Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8, right, that we need to worry about filling up or consuming what he calls empty deceit, right? That would be putting substituting God's word with, like, maybe self-help books, philosophies, or man's wisdom, right? And man's wisdom is inferior to God's wisdom. Amen? Amen. So we need to put God's wisdom in our lives, right? So the first point is this. To keep heresy from taking root in our lives, we need to be on the same page as God, and we need to be on the same page as him on a daily basis. Point number two, guys, is this. We must be more than theoretical believers. That is our second point. We must be more than theoretical believers. In verse 10, it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Two statements within that verse, and I'll break it down. The first says, one, that we need to walk worthy of the Lord, and the other statement is, we need to fully please him. It says, and fully please him, okay? These are two simple, pretty straightforward statements, yet two challenging and maybe seemingly impossible tasks. The first statement here, walking worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it means that we are applying the teachings that we hear here on a Sunday mornings, right, into our lives throughout the weeks ahead. I mean, I could give you a good message. Pastor Peter, Pastor Jeff, they often deliver really powerful and strong messages, but they mean nothing if we're not applying them in our lives on a daily basis, you know? That's important, right, that we're applying what we're hearing on Sundays in our lives ahead and what we're reading in our devotions on our own time. The second statement is fully please him. That means, that refers to how we're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord. It means in every aspect of our lives. You know, as Christians, I feel like we often have two selves, right? We have our church self and our non-church self. You know, we behave one way when we're in here, and when we're not here, when we're with or maybe our secular friends, we're like a completely, totally different person sometimes, you know? And that's not what God wants. He wants us to be our Christian self. He wants us to be his children at all times, you know? And so that means we need to fully submit ourselves in all of our ways, you know? That speaks to, you know, how we are interacting with those around us, you know, how we are carrying ourselves. It means, you know, the thoughts that we have, submitting them to God. It means how we're behaving when we're alone, right, or we think that no one is watching us. Are you honoring God when you're on your computer or on your, you know, devices and you think no one's watching you? That's what it's talking about here too, okay? Because here's the picture. Here's the point here. When we don't fully follow God, right, sin enters our life, okay? And what's the old adage about sin? I think Pastor Jeff may have mentioned this probably a dozen or so times, right? It's, if you give the devil an inch, he ends up taking a mile. Anyone ever heard that before? Okay, yeah, and that's really true in our lives, right? So the more we sin in our lives, or let me backtrack a bit. Here's like the progression of how sin often works in our lives, okay? We start off with, you know, maybe we sin one time here. We're ashamed of it. But when you stick and continue into your sin, right, you move from a place of shame to a place where you start to justify it, saying, oh, God will forgive me, to a point where you're no longer convicted of that sin in your life. And the more you're in your sin, eventually you start going to the point where you start saying that your sin is a good thing. And we kind of see that happening in our culture today, right? You could take any number of issues within our culture, seeing how they progressed in the last 70 years, where we used to be ashamed of certain behaviors. To them, we're saying, let people do what they want to do. Now we're saying that if you don't say that their behavior is a good or a righteous thing, then there's something wrong with you, okay? That's what we have to guard about, right? And this task here is a challenging one, right? It is challenging for us to fully submit our ways to God. It really is. But it's a challenge worth taking on, okay? That's why Paul calls this life that we live the good fight, that we should keep on fighting. And the good news is that the God we serve gives us the strength we need to be able to fully submit to him in all our ways, even when it's not convenient or easy for us to do. How do I know this? Well, let me look with you guys at verse 11 here. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So God gives us the strength we need to be able to fully follow him, to be able to fully submit our ways to him, even when it's not easy to do so. Okay? So, this point, gave you two points, two things to consider about when it means making sure that heresy does not take root or effect in your lives. Those two points were as follows. It was number one, making sure that we are on the same page of God. The second point is we need to be more than theoretical believers. And then this third and final point with you guys is that we must serve God according to God. I'll repeat that to you again. We must serve God according to God. Let me read to you the last bit of verse 10 here. It says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what does it mean to serve God according to God? Okay. Well, there are two parts to unpack in here. The first idea is that all of us should be serving God, right? That section of verse 10, it reads, being fruitful in every good work. So the key word there is being. It is suggesting that we are to be doing something. Doing what? Serving God in some capacity. And think of it like this way, right? when we serve God, you know, we eliminate chances where the devil can come and attack us, right? Where sin could enter our lives, you know. You can think of it from like a logical standpoint, right? There's only so many hours in the day, right? Some of those hours, you know, you're spent working, right? So many hours of free time you get during the week. How are you spending those hours, like when you're able to do it, okay? What are you doing, you know? And this is kind of a point that Jesus makes in Matthew 6, verses 24 through 25. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," okay? And mammon there, I have a note in my text, it refers to riches, okay? And what Jesus is getting at here is not that it's bad to have riches in your life, right? It also goes along with the same idea that it's the love of money is the root of all evil, right? And the point that Jesus is trying to make is, listen, we have two options in our lives of what we can serve. We can either serve God or serve ourselves, you know. You can't be doing both, you know. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And listen, church, everyone here, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone, you know, has a role and part to play here in the body of Christ. And you have a role and play right here at Grace Church, you know. And I can testify to that because I have been blessed by people from all ages, you know, and backgrounds here, you know, young and old. I mean, I'm seeing the small kids, you know, on their own going up and praying for people at the altar. No one tells them to do that, yet they're serving God in their way. And I've been blessed by even the senior members of the congregation, you know, people who have been trying to mentor me the past few years, you know, those on council, you know, giving me advice along the ways, you know. So there are many opportunities for you to be able to serve, and trust me, you don't understand how much of a blessing you'd be to those around you, okay? But let me be clear with this real quick before I move on to this next point here. You see, serving God is a great thing. It's something that we should be doing, but I'm trying to make this clear. I'm not saying that serving God should come at the expense of your responsibilities to your family, okay? That's not what I'm saying here. I'm also not saying that serving God is a substitute for spending time with God in the Word, okay? All right, so why do I say that? Well, if you're serving God all this time, you know, like you're just constantly involved in all these ministries and you're not replacing that with being in time or spending time in God's Word, you're going to find yourself burning out really quickly, right? And then you're not going to be serving at all. You know, you're like, I'm done with this. You need to be in God's Word if you are a leader or if you're serving, you know, so you can be replenished, having the strength you need to carry on, right? Okay. And this kind of leads us to the second idea of what it means to serving God according to God. Serving God according to God means we need to let God lead our way. In the verse it says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does this mean? Well, the key word here in this passage or this section is the and. It means that there is no service of God without his direction, his knowledge, and his leadership. Okay? You can't be serving God without God's favor, without his aim. Why? Well, when we don't have God's direction or knowledge, we run the risk of leading people astray. You know, and as a church, we don't want to do that. And we've seen this take place in culture all throughout times, you know, right? There's a reason why these cults, you know, form and happen, right? A lot of instances, you see like these leaders, you know, at some point, you know, they're following God, they're obeying him, but something clicks in their brain where they stop saying, you know what, I want to do things my way and not God's way, okay? Let me make this clear to you guys. For those of you that are leaders in the faith, whether you're serving here or a leader in some other right as a Christian, or those that are aspiring to be leaders, listen, God can use you. God wants to use you. You should be want to be used by God, but none of us, and that includes me, are indispensable to God, okay? None of us here are indispensable to God's mission. Praise God that his will be completed with or without us, right? How do I know this to be true? Well, think about King Saul in the Old Testament, right? First king of Israel, God gave him the promise, you know, like, hey, your descendants could be on this throne forever. But Saul started doing things his own way. He wasn't obedient to Samuel's commands there, and God stripped him, right, of the blessings. He took him off the throne, you know, at a point in his life, right? And he rose up David, a man after God's own heart, someone that would do God's work and will in his life, right? And If you think that's something that only happened in the Old Testament, well, I can tell you, I can testify that I've seen it happen my own life. I've even seen it happen at Here in Grace years ago with the former youth leader that we used to have here, not naming any names. But listen, just quick story. This was a guy that I really respected growing up, you know. He helped me be able to understand more about my faith, right? He would meet with me to answer questions that I had, but at some point, he started doing things his own way, okay? And that's why he led to leaving to this church, you know. But praise God, eventually he rose up people from this church to be able to meet the needs, you know. I give him praise for that, but that's just a warning for us to be able to consider, you know, to think about. So we need to be able to serve God according to God. At this time, the worship team can come on up. I want to end with you guys on these final thoughts here today, okay? So today's message is based on how we can stop heresy from taking root and effect in our lives. There are 3 points that I just said is we need to serve God according to God. We need to be more than theoretical believers, and we need to be on his same page, and on his page on a daily basis. But why should we? Why is it important that we keep heresy from taking root in our lives? Why does this message even matter? What is the greater picture of this? 2 reasons. If you guys can, could you guys look with me at verses 19 and 20 of us still back in Colossians chapter 1? It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Okay? It reads as follows. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So the first reason why this message is important, why we need to make sure that we don't allow heresy to take root in our lives, is because all of us have non-believing friends and family members that need to hear this message of hope and healing. Folks, we live in a world where people don't know the message of Jesus. They're walking around amongst us every single day, carrying burdens, carrying pains, you know, and they're looking for that someone to make them full in their lives. And we have the answer of who can make them full. That's our God right here. We have people walking around, you know, who still think that they are an enemy of God, you know, that they need to do so many things for God to accept them. They have a misunderstanding of our faith, yet they don't know that God has already made peace on their behalf, and all they have to do is accept the precious gift of his Son. Yet a lot of people won't come to know, they won't come to understand this message if we as a church cannot be separated from the background noise that is in their lives or around them, okay? I'm tired of us as a church, not necessarily here at Grace, but just in the larger scheme of things, just being like another YouTube short or a TikTok video that people just scroll through and pass, just saying, oh, well, it's same stuff I hear all the time. No, I want us to be distinguished. I want people to be able to understand what we are and what we're about, you know? Here's a quote that I read the other day from this guy named Father Brennan Manning. He was a pretty esteemed author of the last century, and he passed away about 10 years ago. But this quote really stuck out to me, and I think it applies to our message. It says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. I know. Something for us to consider when we go throughout the day. So point number one, why this message matters to us is so that our non-believing friends can be able to hear his message of hope and feeling, that they would be able to see that we are people truly transformed by the message of Christ. The second reason why this message is important, vital for us to adhere to, is because it is the least we can do for God, the God who's given us everything. Aren't you grateful, church, that the God we serve isn't just a God who says things, but a God who does them? Aren't we grateful for that, church? That our God is a promise keeper, a promise deliverer, right? It says that he made peace through the blood of his cross, right? And he had this plan at the beginning of time, right, where he said, hey, I'm going to deliver my people. That he recognized that we had this problem of sin, and he sent his Son. He did as he said he would for us. He made a way for us. And not only did he give us his Son, give us his only Son, everything to us, right, but it said it pleased him to do so. It pleased God to give us his Son, you know? So God willingly gave to us. He sacrificed himself to us, right? And as a people that have been blessed by the Lord, why can't we or why don't we live in a way that reflects it? You know? See, by living a distinguished life, we show thanks to the God who is and the God who does, okay? It's the least we can do for God, right? God gave us his all, right? We should be willing to give our lives to him, you know, being obedient to him. And the least we can do is keep false teachings, lies from seeping into us, you know? He paid too much of a price for us to let that happen, guys. Could you guys bow your heads as I get ready to pray? Father God, I thank you once again for just giving us this time to be able to come together. I pray, Lord, that as we go throughout the weeks ahead, that, Lord, that we would seek you, that we would be on your page, that, Lord, we would be obedient to you in every single way, even when it's not easy for us to be obedient, Lord, that we would trust in the strength that you have for us. Lord, I pray that over all of us here today, Lord. And I'm praying, Lord, that we as Christians can live a life that is a true reflection to you, so that way our family members, our friends, those who have not come to know you as Lord can be able to look at our lives and say, hey, there's something different about those people, God. I pray that we may be the reason, we may be the people that leads them to you. And Lord, I'm praying that if there be anyone in here today that does not know you as Lord, that Lord, that you would open up their hearts, God. They would take the moment to become and be able to accept you as such, that they would be able to feel the fullness that we as believers feel, that, Lord, that you would be able to take the burdens and anxieties that they carry away from them and understand that, Lord, that they don't have to live as enemies anymore, but they can live as your children, God, and experience the same blessings and love and fulfillment that we do. We say all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Why don't you stand with us for the final